I'm now joined by Maz Jadala, founder and CEO of Alpha Clone. They offer the Alpha Clone Alternative Alpha ETF, ticker symbol ALFA. And Maz is now on the line with me from San Francisco. Maz, great having you back on the show.
Hi, Nate. How are you? Always love that intro music to your show.
I appreciate that. And I do take musical recommendations for any listeners out there. Maz, let's start with the strategy itself, and then we can get into the investment case. So walk us through how this ETF works and how it's constructed.
Sure. Happy to do that. I thought maybe I'd take a one step back before we get into sort of how the ETF works and talk just a little bit at a very high level what the conventional wisdom has been over the last 10, 15 years in terms of investors. The conventional wisdom has been, hey, it's probably just a better idea for you to buy an ETF that tracks the overall market, and whatever the overall market does, that's what your portfolio does. It's sort of this pure, indexing approach to investing. And that advice, that wisdom has really served investors over the last 10 years because the market has returned double its historical average, right, since the financial crisis. But I think it's also important to point out to your listeners that conventional wisdom hasn't always served investors across, longer time periods. There have been periods when the market's returns have been very depressed and buying the market was something that didn't really work out for retirement investors. So over long periods of time, all of the research shows that if you can access different sources of returns in a portfolio, not just the market's return, it can increase risk-adjusted performance in the portfolio. It can also diversify sources of returns in the portfolio. The problem has been, and historically, is that finding more active sources of returns consistently, that perform consistently well, is extremely difficult to do and often can be very expensive. So you don't blame investors for saying, hey, look, it's really hard to find active managers that perform really well, and often it's very expensive, so why don't we just sort of default to the index, market index approach? Alpha Clone wants to solve that problem for investors. We sort of invented a new way to rate investment managers, hedge funds, and we want to give any investor in the world access to highly skilled investment managers and their high conviction ideas. That's the problem we're trying to solve.
Okay, so explain the methodology then. Then how are you going about doing that?
Sure. So we developed a rating approach based on analyzing the holdings that are disclosed by every hedge fund. If you're a hedge fund manager managing $100 million or more, you have to file a form with the SEC called Form 13FHR. On that form, it discloses every single position that you held at the end of every quarter. This holdings-based analysis of the manager is, in our view, a much more effective way to assess the manager's risk skill than looking at the manager's actual performance, reported performance. And the reason is if you try to analyze a manager based on their actual reported performance, there are many sources that performance can come from. The manager could have stock selection skill, but the manager could also be using leverage. The manager could be timing the market. The manager could have trading skill. The manager's fee structure plays into the performance that they report. On the other hand, if you analyze a manager just based on the holdings that they disclose on Form 13F, you know nothing about the manager's use of leverage or market timing or trading skill. All you know is what they selected in terms of their investments. So it's a great way to isolate stock selection skill on the part of the manager. We call it a clone score, but a great way to think about it is it's a Moneyball-like batting average for every manager that we rank the universe, and we pick the managers with the highest batting average and then take their fattest pitches, their largest positions, to equal weight them in a portfolio. The index that underlies Alpha takes the 10 managers with the highest score, their five largest positions, and equal weights.
In terms of the starting universe, are you starting with the entire hedge fund universe and then sort of whittling it down and then using your proprietary scoring methodology to then get to the top 10?
Yeah, pretty much. We we've got over 500 managers in our universe. It's pretty much everyone that you've heard of, and probably many that you've never heard of as well. We don't have a huge sort of religious belief on when to include a manager, because it doesn't cost us anything to clone the next manager, right? There's zero cost for us because we've already built the technology to do it. So we just let the numbers sort of tell us where whether a manager has skill or not. But generally, we won't add a manager to our universe that has less than 12 quarters of filings. We won't add a manager in our universe that reports less than a certain amount of money on their 13F filing. But other than that, it's pretty much everyone.
And then how many total holdings are typically in the ETF?
So it's 10 managers times their five largest positions with no overlap allowed. So okay. Maximum of 50, right? But there's usually, a handful of stocks that are overlapping between those 10 managers. So it's between 43 and 50, I would say.
So to be clear, if there is overlap, in other words, your top 10 hedge fund managers, if several of them own the same position, you don't then look down to number 6 or 7 on the list. You stick within that top five. You'll just own less holdings overall in the ETF.
Right. So if five of the managers own Microsoft, Microsoft will only appear once, not five times.
Okay. And then the other question I have is, can this hold any type of stock? In other words, large, mid, and small cap? Can it own foreign stocks? Anything?
It can, yes. Any 13F disclosed equity position, right? Any equity security. The index tends to tilt to large cap. So Morningstar has Alpha as large cap growth, and has done for a long time. So it's a large cap strategy, but it's got mid cap and a little bit of small cap in that.
What about sector concentration? So I don't know how often this might happen, but let's say all of your top 10 hedge fund managers are piling into, communication services. Are there any sector constraints with a CTF, or will you just then move to that sector if their top holdings are in, let's say, communication services?
Yeah, I think just the way we construct the strategy, it would be very unusual. It's never happened where you would have that much level of sector concentration. We don't have any sector concentration rules. But if you look at the portfolio today, for example, it's actually underweight technology, it's overweight industrials, it's overweight communication services. But they're tilts. They're not massive shifts, right, where you've got, half the portfolio or three-fourths of the portfolio in one sector. I've never seen that happen.
Okay, so you're using the 13F filings. These are quarterly. I'm curious, is there any issue with a lag in reporting? So in other words, the 13F data you're dealing with is quote-unquote stale, right? So it's possible hedge fund managers perhaps have already sold out of the positions that you're looking at. Is that an issue at all?
Yeah. Well, so, the proof is in the pudding. I guess let's answer that question with the effects on performance of the lag. So in 2018, Alpha ETF, driven by the index that underlies it, was top 10% of all large cap growth funds in 2018. It was also top 10% of all large cap growth funds in 2019. So that's 2 years in a row. It's been top 10%. And so why? Why isn't the lag? There is a lag, right? There's at least a 45-day lag. And if the manager opens the position on the first day of the quarter, it's 90 plus 45. So why doesn't it affect seemingly the performance if you can choose the managers well? Well, the reason is pretty simple. Average holding periods are a lot longer than most people think. If you look at all holdings in a manager's filings and calculate the average holding period across the universe of managers, it's about 17, 18 months. But if you look at the largest 10 positions in the manager's portfolio, it's 43 months. So the fact that average holding periods are so long and the fact that they still have to file quarterly means that there can be quite a bit of value in the filings.
You mentioned the performance of the ETF, which sounds like it's been really strong. But look, we all know active manager performance overall has been challenged, I think especially over the past 10 years. And if you look at the track record for hedge fund managers, it doesn't really look that great either.
Yeah.
So the question I have is, what's the case for trying to replicate what active managers are doing longer term?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a really great question. No one should try to replicate, although there are products out there in the market, ETFs in the market, that try to replicate the average hedge fund return. The average hedge fund return has been abysmal. But as you know, in any active sort of category, whether it's private equity or venture capital or hedge funds, or the dispersion in returns between the best managers and the worst managers, or the best managers and the average, is huge, right? So if you can replicate the returns of the top 10% of managers, right, that's certainly desirable, whereas replicating the returns of the average manager certainly is not. And that's what we're trying to do. Because of that dispersion, we're trying to replicate the returns of the elites in the category.
My sort of on this note, and look, I don't want to get into all the details here, but I'm out on Twitter, and I saw, I think it was last week, you had some back and forth with somebody on Twitter regarding whether or not this was an active or passive strategy. I'm just curious, if you don't mind, are you comfortable commenting on how you ultimately view this ETF?
Yeah, I mean, obviously from our standpoint, especially given that we think that our strategy fits inside the portfolio to diversify returns away from the market beta, it's certainly a much more active strategy than a typical, you know, market cap weighted index fund. But it's rules based, and we only rebalance four times a year. And in that sense, it's passively constructed. So the way I think about our strategies is that they are active strategies that take advantage of passive construction, because passive construction has a lot of benefits for investors, as we've seen, right?
Okay, so I guess that said, how do you see this ETF being used in a portfolio? So if investors looking at this, they like the strategy, where does it fit?
So let me give you a theoretical example, I think, that sort of tells the story about how this sort of strategy works inside the portfolio. Two investors both earn average 9% returns over 50 years, right? Both invest at the same time, and they both invest the same amount of money. Investor A makes 50% more money than investor B. How? Well, it's because investor A compounded at a 6% return the first 25 years and 12% return at the second 25 years, while investor B did the opposite. First they did 12%, then 6%. Because investor A's portfolio was larger when it started to compound at the higher rate, they ended up with 50% more money. And so if you're a retirement investor on the back nine, right, and you look at the expected market returns over the next 10, 15 years, right, which are expected to be much lower than the last 10, 15 years, right, you should be worried. And so adding a strategy that seeks to outperform the market in a portfolio can be very beneficial, especially if that strategy is low cost, tax efficient, transparent, and liquid. And so the way I think about adding alpha to a portfolio is that for every dollar that you have in a passive equity fund like the S&P 500, you should think about putting half of that in a higher active share strategy like alpha.
Maz, you mentioned low cost. I believe you lowered the fee on this ETF fairly recently. It's 65 basis points now, correct?
Correct. We lowered it a couple of years ago.
Okay. As investors look at that fee, is the right comparison to look at traditional hedge funds, which we all know, you know, the old 2 and 20. I know one of the reasons why you launched this ETF to begin with is just that you knew investors couldn't conveniently access the established hedge funds, right? And so you've taken that and put it into, you know, you've democratized this in an ETF wrapper. But in terms of the fee comparison, what's the right fee comparison? Is it looking to the traditional fee structure of hedge funds?
Yeah, I think, you know, the ETF seeks to replace another active strategy, or if you don't have an active strategy, it seeks to be the higher active share strategy in the portfolio. So I think the right fee comparison is, what are you paying to managers that are seeking to outperform the market? And that's usually a mutual fund or a hedge fund or a separate account manager. And if you look at 65 basis points, that's extremely competitive, I would say, relative to especially the hedge fund fee structure.
Well, Maz, with that, we'll have to leave it there. Really great to reconnect. Certainly wish you all the success moving forward. Thank you for joining me this week.
Thanks, Nate. Always fun talking to you.
That was Maj Jadala, founder and CEO of Alpha Clone.